Welcome to the Bogossi Podcast for the 25th of May, 2015. The show where the points matter. And, oh, I fucked that up. I had a joke!
We're running with it.
You may notice that Shane is not here because, well, he had some family issues, and quite frankly, that comes first. And I basically said, well, why not just have the co-hosts take over? And you guys know me, I'm Dave Turcotte. I've been on here enough times now where you guys should recognize who I am. But I am not alone. We have a full house, and I guess I'll just start with
this cavalcade of mediocrity.
Yes. Let's just get this band of misfits going. First off, we have John.
I resent that.
God damn it, Jacob. I'm trying to introduce people. Fuck it. You're first. Jacob Morse, everybody.
Hello. Apparently my voice is deep.
Apparently. Next.
Yeah, and sexy.
Next, we have Chris Palmer, who apparently has a man crush on Jacob now.
Well, my real last name's Hangartner. My last name Palmer is just still, if a creepy guy finds me on Skype, he won't be able to locate me.
Well, now your secret's blown. Look what you've done.
Okay, we'll delete that from the podcast recording.
Yeah.
Look what you've done. Next, of course.
I've got a gun at home, so I'm not afraid anymore.
Oh, good. Now we're just going to get this show off the air for Shane. Next, we have Travis Retriever. Travis, how you doing?
Doing good.
Of course, we have Charles Thomas, also known as the Duke.
What's up?
And finally, my boy, fellow Superplex Bros podcaster, which we haven't done one of those in forever, Jonathan Loche. How you doing?
Last on the program, number one in your heart, right, Dave?
Of course. Save the best for last.
Aww.
Anyway.
Can I come to the wedding?
Anyway. So, Shane's not here. We're taking over. Let's start with the news of the bogus. And Rand Paul has been in the news. Charlie, you were tasked with looking up this story. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Yes. The one and only Rand Paul, the most confusing of the presidential candidates, that says that he's going to do a lot of things, but yeah, he's trying to pander to the crazy part of the base. And sadly, that's probably why he's probably going to go farther than his dad did. But anyway, looks like he is looking to be protesting the soon-to-expire Patriot Act, which is something a lot of us, majority of the people of America, should be celebrating, because honestly, you know, these type of, people would probably, be like, hey, you know, the Patriot Act is going to sunset. Oh, they'll just somehow find a way to reinstall it. But looks like Senator Rand Paul on the case with nearly 11 hours with a filibuster-like speech rally against the law of government continued surveillance in America's phone records and such. And not only there's there's people who've been talking a lot of positive stuff, including Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden actually praises Rand Paul's anti-patriot filibuster, which I think is a very interesting thing. Interesting because a lot of people, people who heard about Edward Snowden did a lot of stuff, did the whole NSA whistleblowing thing, basically, talked about privacy with Americans. I think this is something a lot of people should be looking at and talking about instead of, the next stuff about, Dancing with the Stars or what have you, sadly.
Yeah, this is probably one of the few cases where I have to stand with Rand, as much as I hate that phrase.
God.
But, yeah, this is a good thing. The Patriot Act is terrible. I think we all can agree on that.
Absolutely.
It's been terrible since inception, and it's going to continue to be terrible if it ever gets renewed. And Rand is kind of a controversial figure among libertarianism, because there's a lot of people who really hop onto the Rand wagon. That's I am copywriting that catchphrase, trademarked.
Bing.
But all kidding aside, this is one of the few times where I actually think Rand is doing a good thing here.
Yeah. Rand kind of suffers from personality disorder, because there are times where he honestly cannot tell what what side of the political debate he's on.
I think actually at the end of the day,
that's the politician.
That's the thing. He's trying to. I think he's trying to go more farther than his dad by playing the game, and sadly, you know, that's how you have to do it. And honestly, part of me wishes that he does run, becomes a nominee, because at least he will bring this to the forefront with actually, funny enough, Hillary Clinton, who is last I checked, still in favor of the Patriot Act. And, you know,
and not to mention a massive con.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I can't wait to share this with my family. But honestly, he's also, you know, very, you know, against the war on drugs and everything else, which is something, you know, again, a lot of people, you know, should be more on side with, you know.
But, you know, the biggest problem with Rand is that he, as previously stated, you know, he talks the libertarian game, but in the end, he ends up pandering to his GOP allies. And, I mean, he says, oh, I want to end the war on drugs, but then he says, I'm not going to end the war on drugs and shit like that. And a lot of libertarians, for some reason, seem to think that suddenly now Rand is going to be the guy to turn the Republican Party into, like, this libertarian paradise, which he won't be.
They said 30 years ago we'd be saying the same thing about Ronald Reagan, how that worked out for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Something tells me even if Rand Paul did get into power and did end all this stuff, you know, there's a good chance that after he left office, the Republicans or Democrats would just bring all that stuff back, you know.
Here's the thing. All they have to do is do what they did to Ron. They muscled him out of the election in every way possible. And if Rand even starts talking remotely libertarian enough, they'll do the same to him.
Yeah.
Because they'll just...
Oh, no, they already have started doing that to Rand.
Oh, wow.
There was a poll done not too recently where they listed... Where, again, they listed all the Republican candidates except Rand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the game has already begun.
Yep.
Yeah, not to mention, as Shane pointed out in one of his videos, you know, like, for instance, when the 2008 elections were coming in there, Ron Paul tried to run as a Republican candidate, and when the Republicans called people, if you tried to select other, they would just say, okay, you're not voting, so we're not gonna add you.
Yeah, and same thing in 2012. Didn't they had, like, a bus that they just kept rolling?
Yeah, I was just gonna mention that in 2012, they outright prevented his delegates from going to the... from showing up.
Mm. Oh, yeah, and it's funny because when I told one of my Republican friends that I voted for Gary Johnson, you know, he jumped on the whole bandwagon and said, oh, by voting for Gary Johnson, you took votes away from the Republican Party to get Obama out. And I'm like, the reason the Republicans lost on the election was because they picked the worst candidate to fight Obama, you know.
The
2012... The 2012 election is kind of a funny thing because Obama was starting to really decline the popularity, even among Democrats. He wasn't quite where he is now, but he was starting that real decline. All Republicans had to do was not fuck up.
Yeah, it was
and
easy.
They still fucked up.
It was the easiest thing in the world. It's like, all you gotta do
I mean, hell if they nominated
I'll tell you this, I bet they're gonna do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they're gonna do it again.
We're gonna get Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton, and we're gonna pretend that we don't have an aristocracy in America once again.
Oh, Jeb Bush is running?
Yeah,
well, he will.
Is he planning? Oh.
Well, he hasn't officially announced it as of this recording, but it's pretty much guaranteed he's running, unless this recent debacle with him really prevents him from running.
Hillary's running?
Yeah.
Hillary's been running.
Oh, fuck her!
Where's she? What has she ever done?
Well, she was senator, and she voted for the Iraq War.
And the Patriot Act,
and she was
then jumped on the bandwagon and said, "I hate Bush, and I want out of the Iraq War." Yeah,
and then she jumped right back in.
Yep.
She does nothing.
Anyway, point being, Rand, we're actually siding with you on this filibuster, but I doubt you're going to stick with your principles for too much longer after this.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at what he did with his drone filibuster. What was that, a year or two ago?
Yeah.
I mean, that was great when it happened, but then he immediately started backtracking.
Principles, man. Of course. It's hard. It's hard to have principles. You don't win elections with principles. That's the sad truth.
Yep.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now.
So next, we have a story about GM. Jacob, what do you got to tell us?
Okay. So, you bought your new Chevy or Cadillac. You really like driving it. And it's purchased, not leased, and paid off, and all paid off. Or is it? Well, according to GM, you don't own it. They're just licensing it to you.
You didn't own that.
Yep. You didn't make that.
God, this reminds me of the same BS you hear from proponents of IP.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is all about. This is intellectual property. And didn't John Deere just do this too?
They said the computer in their vehicles, you know, could be used, you know, to download copyrighted material. Yeah. So,
I mean, this has been a fight that's been going on a long time. I have a couple people in my family who are in the mechanic industry, and for years now, I mean, this goes all the way back to, you may remember heard the stories about how Ford used to always have every single part have like a little F somewhere on there when they manufactured, so they knew it was an official Ford part, and refused to fix your car if it didn't have all the parts didn't have the little F.
See, and people, and they wonder why people are saying, "Screw you, big three. I'll go with a Toyota or a Honda."
Oh, Ford. This. I mean, that's why. Yeah.
This is why people like me go with Toyota.
Again, it's just, and it goes right to the main core of the issue is the intellectual properties and copyright law. And it goes straight from, it comes from this thing. I know you, Dave, you have your own BS going with you too with your own copyright stuff. And it just goes to that core, the DMCAs and everything else. And until that changes, until somewhere, somehow that law becomes, you know, the copyright laws get reworked and actually refunds actually know what's going on, so this vague BS, this stuff is going to continue.
Yeah. And you know, with all this anti-piracy laws, I actually told this joke to Shane because I'm working on a comic strip which does talk about politics and all that, and there's a funny joke where they go back in time to an old, you know, prison with pirates, and they're talking, and one pirate and three guys are in prison, and one guy's saying, "I was put in prison for robbing a French ship and hanging its crew by the ball sack." The other guy goes, "I was arrested because I burnt Port Royal to the ground." And the third guy goes, "Oh, well, I was arrested because I downloaded a VPN to my laptop."
Yeah, it's the same thing.
You know, it surprises me. It surprises me that Japanese car makers aren't in on this shit because they love their IPs in Japan.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kaufman. Hey, Dave, have you become a Nintendo partner on YouTube?
No. And
so you can
don't insult my intelligence by trying to act like I'm going to get in on that fucking scam job.
And that's why I'll probably never even...
I've heard some nasty stuff about Nintendo. Well,
exactly.
And it's funny, I've actually seen some video game podcasters come to Nintendo's defense.
I think the reason why they do, because Nintendo...
I'm reminded of Chugga Khan,
but Nintendo, for the most part, in the gaming scene, they actually make games for fun. Then we could go, you know, this podcast would go like 15 hours for basically how what's going on basically in the game industry. Having basically paying $60 for a 5-hour interactive movie, Order 1886. But it's just, The people are just so, like, okay, they had to write it, but the copyright is the whole situation. And eventually, I believe with what the EFF is doing and everything, which these people should be supporting, you know, EFF and all those great organizations. We have to, support them, and hopefully someday soon, we'll actually get this thing, get this all this copyright craziness done.
But I think the overall lesson in this story, and really all of these stories, like the John Deere one, is that intellectual property, while sounds like a good idea on paper, in practice has been one of the most abusable things, arguably, to ever exist.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
In reality,
it's not good on paper either.
Well,
the deal property is supposed to be helping avoid conflict with scarce resources. And ideas aren't exactly, well, they're basically super abundant. It's like trying to own air.
IP really wouldn't bother me if it was just a case of, like, this person made this, and it's an acknowledgement that they're the ones that made that. IP as it is now is just a complete crock and has been used to essentially not only remove competition in the marketplace, but to abuse anyone that they feel is even close to a threat.
Oh, yeah.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age. So go to vpn.pugosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world. And they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pugosity.tv.
Sir Richland! Their police station has been doing some dirty deeds, and John, what do you got to tell us about that?
Oh, dear. Well, God knows we've talked plenty about asset forfeiture in this podcast. And in Richland, the Richland Sheriff's Office, keep in mind, by the way, when I say this is a sheriff's office that consists of, I believe, 4 deputies for a town of 7,000 people.
Jesus.
In 2014, the team seized $506,000 in cash and property to boost the city's civil forfeiture account to more than $2.3 million.
Hey, it's they don't care.
That's
all
and that
about...
doesn't even begin... And then an additional $400,000 from related revenue from fines and court costs.
Hmm.
They just want the money. That's what they are. They're just, you know, again, it's because the police officers are not really there to serve and protect. They're there just for rent cut. They're there for...
Well, they just need more money funding from the government. Then things
will work. Over the years, they have seized so much through civil forfeiture, they have been able to pay for a $4.1 million police station, a quote-unquote top-level training center. The article I have here doesn't go exactly to how much that costs or what exactly that details, and brand new Dodge Charger police cars for every deputy.
Huzzah!
Everyone's getting a car.
And that, I think, is very telling.
Mm-hmm.
It's very telling that these... It's not just a matter of revenue collection for the state. It's revenue collection for themselves, just as much.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there was some video by John Stossel where he made fun of civil forfeiture, where he showed a picture of a truck that was controlled by a police cruiser. By the police department, and they said there was a picture on it that said this truck used to belong to a person, now it's ours.
Yeah, it's I mean they're rent collectors.
It's robbery, is what it is.
It is.
Robbery.
They are.
And the article points out that Mississippi is one of the worst states for this, because in order to legally seize assets, legal standard is only a preponderance of evidence. All preponderance means is that it's more likely than not, basically 50% plus 0.1.
Yeah, so basically a dice roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention,
in this case, it even goes into point out that most of these, all that was needed was a drug dog being triggered. And we've gone in this podcast before about.
So when you say drug dog,
how drug.
No, it doesn't mean the dog without trouble, man. It just means that the.
That's the real story. Dog goes to Tumblr.
Oh god! Wait, you leave the furry fandom out of this, man.
Yeah.
Oh god! It went to Tumblr and saw cats.
Yeah.
Trigger.
It looked up cat frequency on Twitter. It's true. Yes. Feline frequency. Yeah. Feline
triggers. Frequency. Triggers yeah. Everywhere.
Oh yeah.
All kidding aside, this is just ridiculous, and the fact that this can still happen in this country, and while people are outraged, next to nothing is being done to stop it.
No one's talking about it.
Oh yeah,
because they're the government, and we're not. Mm-hmm.
It's absurd.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, to quote from the movie Hotel Rwanda, it's one of those situations where people will read the news and they'll say, "Oh my, that's horrible. We gotta do something," and then they go back and eat their dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, except they don't even go that far.
I love the justification from the sheriff's office. It quote unquote frees up a huge part of the city's budget. Every other department benefits from the drug seizure deal.
Yeah, God. Except the citizens whose property take away, because the fact is, because the truck was taken by a drug dealer doesn't mean he owns it, and there have been many cases where the car was rented and the guy didn't pay it off yet, so the guy who really owns it, requests the police, okay, you've convicted the guy, can I have my car back? And they say, nope, it's ours now.
Well, there's also the case of what if it's a stolen vehicle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nope,
and here's really... Yep. This is how you know this is just a big scam. But the Institute of Justice audited the rest of the surrounding counties in Mississippi. Neighboring Hinds County, keep in mind, remember, what was the number I said earlier, about $500,000 just in 1 year this particular sheriff's office had seized. Neighboring Hinds County had seized only, finger quotes, $10,000. Rankin County had seized, Rankin County in Brandon, $567,000.
Jesus.
They're getting that money.
Yeah.
They're getting that money so they can pay for their shiny new little cars and a shiny new police department. So they can take more money.
I mean, they might as well just keep
and the margarita machine for the break room. No joke, the police actually used on civilian forfeiture to buy that. Yeah,
but guys, how are they going to have gold lace pools if we don't let them do this? Think of the police.
The margaritas.
Yeah,
and of course you have the same people who rob, rape, and steal from us, and then pretend to be surprised and fake indignation when they about how well our morale is down because. The citizens don't support us. This just ends. Citizen morale is down because because the police keep raping, pillaging, and killing them. Funny how that works.
Did anyone here watch the series True Detective?
No.
No.
There's a scene where the main character goes into the evidence locker room and just basically grabs like a 2-pound bag of coke out of the evidence locker and sticks it in his pocket to use as part of a drug deal. You know, just let the police keep the drugs and sell them. They probably make more
and
money.
Sadly, they actually in some cases.
Oh yeah, that could be good. Yeah, if you take drugs, fine. Go ahead and sell
them.
But
hey, you know, that's another story.
Oh yeah, they've been known to sell guns sometimes.
But guys, how can the police chief snort coke off of a hooker's ass if he can't steal from everyone else? Think of that.
Yeah.
What are you? I mean, I know, right? Are we just selfish like that?
How can police chief snort coke off a barrel of a gun that they took?
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll have an accident.
And who's gonna keep our well-respected police force out of the papers when they accidentally kill a hooker?
Or, shoot at a black guy in the street. But hey, who cares?
Listen, something's got to pay those medical bills.
Yeah. It's like on South Park, you know, where like they're going around arresting black people, but it's reached the point where they've been doing that for so long that they honestly don't think they're racist. They're like, no, we're not racist. It's just we arrest black people if we see them. That's how we've been doing it for years.
God. And of course, a bit with the Michael Jackson lookalike, where he said, "Wait, oh my God, we almost arrested an innocent rich white man."
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON.
Okay, so you guys have heard about the big Amtrak fiasco, and, we got a lot to say about that. Chris, lead on.
Yeah, apparently the Washington Post posted an article defending the whole Amtrak scandal and why it's got all these problems, you know. According to Sean Davis of TheFederalist.com, to quote Philip Bump, that's a really dumb last name, but oh well. Why is Amtrak such a struggle? And he points out, and I quote, "Because Republican districts don't use it." Okay, so, and here's what he goes on to say. He says, "As the post Colby be equal, sorry if I can't pronounce it." Noted, Congress has delayed passing legislation to fund Amtrak since 2013. The last time it did so was in 2008. The votes passed only after a rail disaster, which of course happened again Tuesday night. The constant struggle of Amtrak to get funding derives largely from the fact that not many Americans use the rail system. Ridership is heavily censored in the Northeast and the corridor between Boston and Washington, where Tuesday's accident occurred. But more than that, ridership is evenly distributed politically from the National Association of Railway Passengers show the number of passengers that got on or off the train in any given congressional district reveals how an obvious reason why Republicans not be too concerned about funding the system. Yeah, but that completely ignores the fact that that Amtrak receives around $30 billion in cash from the federal government since its creation in 1970, and they recently approved... another, I think it was, according to this article, signed by Barack Obama, another $1.4 billion for funding this year.
So let me get
that's the most tired excuse ever. The, government programs fail because they have lack of funding.
Yeah,
despite the fact they generally get more money than their private equipment.
And the real despicable thing is that Philip Bump had to know about this because Amtrak, it's right there in the federal papers showing their funding, and it shows that despite all their incidences, they still get a lot of money, you know? In fact, I think it's been increasing in some areas.
So let me get this straight. If a private company had this much of a disaster as Amtrak did, everyone would be calling for their head on a goddamn stick.
So basically Ubisoft.
And yet, here, we have a public company that is so subsidized by government, and yet they have this big of a fuck up, and yet people are saying they need more money.
That's amazing to me.
Here's the thing. Philip Bob points to a situation where it's like, yeah, but every year the spending on Amtrak gets lower. But what he doesn't fail to realize is that look at these numbers. It's like I think it's in the millions, but they use 1,555 for 2010, 1,475 for 2011, 1,408 for 2012, and 1,365 for 2013. Yeah, that's a decrease, but that's only for like 100,000 or so. It's still getting $1 billion a year from the government.
But that's amazing to me.
I mean, here you go.
I'm sorry.
You want to know why Amtrak fails?
Why?
Because it's a government monopoly?
Well, that. And here's a good idea. I just looked this up just for... Because, see, most of my family lives in New York City. A round-trip flight, same dates, a round-trip using Amtrak is $350 for a 17-hour train ride.
Oh, yeah. A bus would cost a lot less than that. I've heard people take it... No.
Guess how much a nonstop 2-hour flight is, round trip?
How's that? How much is that?
$291 from Delta.
Wow. Yeah.
It's cheap. It's a lot cheaper. And planes a lot safer for the most part. But
that's odd. Yeah, Amtrak. Amtrak. You know, people think the airliners are overpriced. You're making them look like I'm a Dollar Tree store.
Yeah, and again, I am a pro train guy. I like trains. I like the I really think the idea of it is great. But honestly, at this point, if this is going to have all this money going to Amtrak, and see how this is a complete and utter failure, isn't it about time to say,
yeah,
maybe we should look. And besides, even before this, I go to Amtrak trains and everything else. And sometimes I look at some of those train stations are looking like they look dirty. They look disgusting. They have trash everywhere.
Well, what do you expect?
Yeah. And then in some cases, I look at some of them. I'm like, some of the seats, when I go up there, they look terrible. Even sometimes in the first class.
There's actually been wild animals that have been known to live in there and they don't do anything about them.
Yeah, they called the big ones.
Yeah, there was that one story that happened, I think it was a few years ago, where some people, there was barely anyone on board, but they were sharing a cabin with a coyote, which had stumbled on board.
Yeah, there's no real sense of consequence. There's no...
Yeah, because why should the people who work for Amtrak care? Their jobs are guaranteed,
When you have a guaranteed paycheck, no one's going to really give any type of a... Well, but again, that's not really true, because in some cases you have people, or even athletes, they actually give a damn and such, But this right here is just this whole type of organization failure. And if the organization fails in a completely destructive way, you have to relook and say, maybe this whole Amtrak experiment is not working.
And again, what makes this totally bogus is that, as the article points out in several areas, Philip Bub had the information. There was plenty of papers, showing the taxes and financial legislation of Amtrak right from the federal government itself, and he ignored it or cherry picked the data.
Ideologue cherry picking data? Surely you must be mistaken.
If he saw a scenario where the budget of Amtrak was cut by even just like $1 million, he said, "Oh, they're making a drastic, huge, struggling machete cuts to Amtrak." Even though Amtrak makes, as we pointed out, it gets $1 billion in funding every year, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
these cuts are so damn draconian.
Yeah, and they still get $1.8 billion.
Like, all you people who still can't get this idea around you, let's compare $1 million to $1 billion. If you were to take a dollar and count every single dollar from $1 to $1 billion, you'd be counting money for 23 days. If you were to count to $1 billion using $1 bills, it would take in 98 years. That's the difference.
Yeah, it's just...
I know, I'm just trying to show how big they are.
And this is the problem, is that when you have all this money, like I said, organization failure, And there's no one out there, again, in the Republicans, Democrat, or whatever, will look at this and say, hey, maybe the way we're running Amtrak is not doing a good job. We're not doing a good job. So maybe we look
not
at
to mention, and not to mention he's blaming the Republicans, even though both parties are responsible for Amtrak.
Yeah, again, it's all about my team. It's tribalism. It's my team. It's yep. my this. It's my.
Yeah, you know.
And unless that team's the New York Giants, I don't give a shit for either of them.
You may not want to say that I'm from Green Bay and we hate
them.
But see, here's the thing. Football is more relevant than these jack-offs. And quite frankly, all kidding aside, you know, this whole thing is a huge cluster of nonsense, and it's going to continue. There's going to be another Amtrak crash, and then some other idiot's going to come out and say, "Well, they just needed more money. They just need what do you
mean?" And here's the thing: if you just had Amtrak, and here's the sad thing: if you just had Amtrak run between DC and Boston, and that was all their lines along the East Coast, they could actually make money. It's the only profitable corridor in the entire country. It's this idea that we still need trains that can run from San Francisco to Chicago to New York.
To the moon.
Yeah.
And it's funny because some politicians love to point out, but look at Japan. Japan's got all these nice trains. How come we don't have nice trains? Well, two reasons. One, Japan is a smaller country. It's even smaller than California from what I've heard. And two,
those trains are private.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to point out. And two, the vast majority of the trains, including those famous bullet trains, are owned by private companies. They're owned there, and if they don't satisfy their customers, they go out of business.
Well, they're also still heavily subsidized too.
Well, yeah, but still, you know, you get the idea. You know, yeah. From what I heard, the government still has a big stake in them, but they still operate it like a business. Like the government. Like, you know, unlike, you know, the U.S. government, from what I can understand, in Japan, you know, if a state-subsidized industry isn't producing, they're going to approach and they're going to say, hey, get your shit together or we're going to cut your funding, unlike the United States government, which goes, oh, you failed? Don't worry. We'll give you, like, this amount of money to fix the problem.
They want more. They want more and more until there's nothing left. And even if there is nothing left to American people give, they'll still want more. Yeah.
That's something that always kills me. It's like how they say, oh, well, government programs fail and stuff because they're not given enough money. It's like, what? What? I mean, so what? Over 70% of our worldly wealth per year isn't enough?
Yep.
Good Lord. Give me a break.
And it's fun. And they... Yeah. And these people have the right to accuse libertarians of being greedy. Yep. They say, oh, you're just rich people who want all the money at the expense of the poor. And I'm just going to say, look at what the government's doing. They've got all these boondoggle programs that are taking money from taxpayers. And who's benefiting? Only the politicians and the companies that are in bed with the politicians.
And the sad part about this boondoggle is it's a boondoggle that has cost people lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
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 All the road to serfdom.
Just another, yeah, so nah. Basically just another sacrifice on the altar of socialism. Shameful.
Well, they owe it, Milton Friedman did say the road to socialism is paid with good intentions. Or is it the road to hell? I forgot.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing, yeah. Socialism is hell.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com.
Okay, speaking of boondoggles, John?
God knows we have wasted a lot of money on the war on terror.
Oh, yeah.
Probably at this point in the trillions, but the war on the wallet. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just such a nice, perfect symbol right here. During the latest troop surge in Afghanistan, it was deemed that because there was insufficient room for HQ, that we need to build an entirely new building.
Oh, great.
Multiple high-level generals straight up said, no, this won't happen. Even the most generous build times said that this building wouldn't be completed in time, and by the time it could be completed, most of the troops would already be gone back home.
Oh, man, this reminds me of a story my friend Jason told me.
Well, 25 million dollars later, that's a conservative estimate, we now have a giant Marine headquarters in the middle of nowhere of Afghanistan that wow. No one is using. Just, wow.
So basically, it's a sand collector. Yeah.
Yep. Well, we got stuff like that. In the United States too. You know, I remember reading somewhere that the government spends over hundreds of million dollars a year maintaining government buildings that the government doesn't use.
God. Yeah.
What's the Amtrak over there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I remember reading there was an interview with one politician one time, and they asked him, "Well, why do you have some of these buildings that you don't use?" And they go, "Well, we may need them in the future."
Yeah. ProPublica has a breakdown of the whole thing. By the way, this building went through 5 official reviews in a 2-year period. There were 5 times that this could have been killed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. The first, it was first recommended to be killed by a Major General Richard Mills. And then 2 other generals. Let's see here. Major General Timothy McHale and Brigadier General William Buckler also recommended the project to be killed. It landed on the desk of Army Major General Peter Van Giel, I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
Who was ultimately placed in charge of military construction in Afghanistan. He rejected the advice of the 3 generals that the building was superfluous because... Now, and here is why he rejected it. Not because the building was essential. He's already agreeing that the building is not essential, but because the money had already been appropriated by Congress and was in hand.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, we got the money spent already. Exactly. We may as well keep the fucker.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And here's the thing that my friend Jason tells me is that because he's in the army, he's met a lot of generals, and he says that one of the good things is that an overwhelming majority of generals do agree that the United States government wastes money more than it takes in, but the reason why all these projects get approved, even though the vast majority of generals in the military don't like them, is because the politicians just do whatever. But any other politicians
actually, what you're saying is actually exactly. In a notice to the other previous generals, General Van Giel said that to kill the facility now and divert funding elsewhere, the military would have to consult Congress.
Yep.
A bureaucratic process called reprogramming.
Oh yeah,
and no one wants that.
It's bureaucratic. Yep. If they want to make a major change to the army, they got to go through a bureaucratic process. In fact, going back, I told this story to Shane one time, but when my friend Jason was in the army, they were having problems with their machine guns, which was the M249 SAW. You know, anyone who's a gun nut knows what that gun is. But what happened was that the guns they were using, the saws they were using, were old from leftovers from the Gulf War. They needed new ones. And some bureaucrats, you know, in the army said, nope, it can't be done. And they said, well, why not? It says, well, because we're building all these buildings and other sorts of shit that the army didn't need that we can't afford it. And he's saying...
Actually, speaking of can't afford it, according to the timeline here, construction had not even begun by the time President Obama made his famous speech about Afghanistan troop withdrawal back in June of 2011. And in August of 2011, the military axed $128 million of construction, but not for this building.
And we say that we don't have an empire. People say America doesn't have an empire. They don't have an empire.
Yep.
Fuck it. Turn it into a spa.
Yeah, I actually, going back to my comic strip, I actually make fun of that where they, where the U.S. Air Force is making a Stargate portal, and the characters are like, what the hell do we need a Stargate portal for? He says, what, you don't want the Russians to have one? And besides, it was either we spend the money on this, or we spend it on that bathhouse that the government never uses.
Yeah, well, that's basically what happened, was that it was transformed, this building was transformed from an army project to a marine project. And the Marines not only decided, well, we're going to keep it in our budget, they almost doubled the budget.
Yeah.
They made United States Marine Corps made a total of 15 changes, which increased total cost by over $1 million.
Yeah.
And in additional pricey upgrades, they added almost $3 million to the budget for upgraded audio and video electronics, and $526,000 for a video teleconference suite.
Jesus!
Yeah.
They are turning it into a goddamn resort.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm surprised they didn't mention the whores, the hookers, and
we're gonna pull out of Iraq and Afghanistan and end America's aggressive foreign
policy. Oh, no, and it gets better.
The government's budget.
And it gets better. Let's see here. October 12, 2012... $100,000 was added to the budget for expedited shipping for furniture.
Yay.
December 21st, 2012. Wasn't that when the world was supposed to come to an end, actually?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Construction modifications were made to a single wall for a bigger conference table that cost $500,000.
Jesus, how many fucking coupons do they have at Bed Bath & Beyond?
At this point, don't wonder, is this like one big troll job?
And then,
I mean, at this point,
half of these articles I read about, I swear, are from The Onion.
Oh, we're getting to the most onion of them all. Oh my god.
Hey, no. Here's the real kicker. April 9, 2013, the building is officially commissioned. Major General Walter Lee Miller sent the following email to the higher chain of command that he would not be using the 64K building, the official designation, because it still lacked essential communication equipment.
Give me a fuck you!
Yeah, to quote John Stossel, get me a drink!
Beautiful.
So it has all that, but still not enough. Well, they really want like a fucking pool and a, you know, a billiards table, maybe some foosball,
maybe some hookers and coke.
Got to get a PlayStation 4 in there.
Maybe some Puerto Rican manboy slaves. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Please, gaming PC.
It turns out they actually had a deal also with the casinos. They're going to put an entire casino in there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally, in October of 2014, the last United States Marines left Afghanistan without ever using the building for a single day. We still have a monthly operating cost of $108,000 a month to keep the building there, just in case we need it.
Great! Yeah. That is beautiful.
Fucking beautiful.
Lord. Yeah, and not to mention, I'm pretty sure the people who were building this place were like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the moral of this story, if you work for the government and have access to all the monopoly money in the world, you could build a building that's practically a resort casino and never use it.
Yeah.
The United States government, everybody.
I'm sorry. I forgot the part about where we added $750,000 for a special VIP drop-off entrance for senior command staff.
That will never be used.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Just imagine how much money that could actually use for $25 million. You know, maybe build some some nice like homes and such like that for him.
You know, maybe Maybe we could turn it. A school and hospital for Afghanis who've had their homes blown up.
Nah.
Just a resort.
We need a pointless military building with seats that will never be used. It's just going to be sitting there in this little, basically in a desert that no one will ever use until the zombie invasion.
Yeah.
Oh, and apparently the plumbing doesn't work because it still needs porta potties. Oh,
I hate those things.
This story just gets better and better.
Because who cares about accurate plumbing and such, right? Plumbing is
so busy. They had all this other shit, but they couldn't even get the plumbing right? I don't care if you have all the technology in the world. If I can't go to the bathroom, I don't care.
Ditto.
No wonder they abandoned it.
Oh my god.
That's the real reason they left Afghanistan. Not because the war was immoral, but because there was no plumbing.
Yeah, and the place was starting to smell.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv.
If you get easily angry, turn away now. Because it's time for the biggest Bogon emitter. And oh my god, do we have a good one this week.
Oh, what is it?
You may recall the story of the police who raided a house in a drug raid and threw a flashbang into a child's crib. And
what?
Burned his face.
Of course.
Hang on a second. I need to bang my head against a filing cabinet for a few minutes.
You may recall that story.
Yeah.
But the family tried to sue the police station, the sheriff's department, and they didn't win. And the sheriff's office, who are this week's biggest Bogon emitter, gave their defense, saying that the child was at fault for being in the fucking room when they threw a flashbang.
Yeah, how dare that kid was sleeping.
How old was this baby again?
19 months old.
Oh, yeah. A 19-year-old month made a conscious decision to say F you to the police and stay and be and volunteer to be a human shield. Yeah, he totally consciously did that.
Yeah, and here's the thing right here. I love this quote right here.
Yep.
This is quote, the act of speaking in a room about to be breached by SWAT teams constituted criminal conduct on the part of the infant. Just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Let me
frame that.
Last time I checked, aren't toddlers immune to disciplinary under the law?
I don't care. They just make that stuff up.
The police will make up any new rule.
I mean, you could make the argument that, yes, it might have been an accident. And if they had admitted that, yes, we fucked up. Okay. At least you admit you made a mistake. But no, they don't do that. Not only do they say that they did nothing wrong, but they say that the child was at fault for merely existing.
What do our people have a very...
How the fuck can you sleep with yourself at night?
Something tells me some of these police officers are sociopaths in secret. Wouldn't surprise me, though.
They are outweighed secret.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, because there was an actual case where they did found out, where they found out that one of the police officers in the car, I think it was Washington, they found out that, He was a serial killer, and at the same time, he was a
police officer.
What was he doing again? Like, I think he was like preying on like hookers or whatnot. But he was also a police officer who had served in there for 10 years, and even despite all the fact that they had evidence which shows he was killing people, they still tried to defend him.
Well, because hey, it's the blue line.
That's just police the blue unions. Line right there. And this right here, this is clearly sociopathic behavior. And people, I just go on this forum that go, this is one person, I can't remember, oh yeah, his screen name's, Bucks, 93 or something. He is like supposedly a former police officer. I don't believe that. He's like saying, well, you know, the police officers are, they do all this hard work. And he goes on saying, well, if you guys can't keep making fun of them, why don't you go and join up to be the police officer? Why don't you be the change and everything? I'm like, shut the hell up, man. You are basically just giving a carte blanche to these officers and everything else, saying that they can do whatever they want with no type of consequence, and blaming the victim. That is the definition of victim blaming.
No kidding.
I'm going to continue reading this quote because, Charlie, you started reading it, but
yeah,
it
gets worse. I just had to stop.
It gets worse.
Oh, God.
The act of sleeping in a room about to be breached by a SWAT team constituted criminal conduct on the part of the infant. At the very least, the infant was fully liable for the nearly fatal injuries inflicted on him by the Habersham County Sheriff's Deputy Charles Long, blindly heaved a flash grenade, a destructive device, as described by the ATF, that when detonated burns at 2,000 to 3,500 degrees Fahrenheit into the crib. Merely by being in that room, Boo Boo had assumed the risk of coming under attack by a SWAT team by impeding the trajectory of that grenade rather than fleeing his crib. Boo Boo failed to avoid the consequences of that attack. In any case, Boo Boo, along with his parents and his siblings, are fully and exclusively to blame for the injuries that nearly killed the child and left the family with more than $1 million in medical bills. The SWAT team that invaded the home in Cornelia, Georgia, on the basis of a bogus anonymous tip that a $50 drug transaction had occurred there is legally blameless.
This sounds like something that
supposedly a drug transaction versus a $1 million debt in medical bills. The war on drugs, people. That is
well, the $50 drug deal was actually supposed to be a sting operation.
Oh,
it was an informant purchased $50 worth of meth from someone who once lived there.
Good Lord.
So the person wasn't even in the house. They had long been gone. But they tried to raid this house anyway, looking for this person. So it's basically invading the wrong house.
And even worse.
I
remember the story breaking. And when I saw people defend this, saying, well, maybe the dad was a bad person. Or this, that, and the other. I'm like, they're bringing up these fake reports saying he was abused and it came out to be completely bogus. I'm like, even if he was, that wasn't the crime or anything else he was going in for. That wasn't why the police were going into the house. And besides the point, the kid was burnt alive with a flash grenade. How do you defend this?
This sounds like something you would hear on The Onion. Good Lord.
I have to give the parents credit for the amount of restraint that they have. For not going down there and killing every last one of them motherfuckers. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a firm believer in the non-aggression principle, but if they not only mutilated my child, but then had the fucking nerve to say, well, it was his own fault, I don't know what I would do.
I honestly think
I would do things that I should not describe, because that would... you guys know I'm quick to anger.
Ooh.
But I'm immortal after all.
But, God, this pisses me the fuck off. You have to have a certain level of pure callousness to actually try and say that the child who was sleeping in his crib, and this wasn't like it was the middle of the afternoon, this was 3 a.m, where the child would have been sleeping.
I just don't understand these people. I don't understand. That is the definition of a soulless right there.
And don't get me wrong. There's a lot more to their defense than this. And it's all equally fucking stupid. But just the fucking callousness, the soullessness, the pure... It's almost the contempt. The outright contempt that they hold for this child that they burned alive and they disfigured.
And not one will stand up and apologize. Not one will say, yes, it was me, I apologize. It was a mistake. I dread the decision. No, they blame the kid. How does this work?
It's baffling, and with the recent stories of police brutality, and, you know, and there's a lot of, like, with the recent Baltimore and stuff, like, I don't condone riots, but this might be the one instance where I would say if people started rioting, going after police, I don't know if I could necessarily blame them.
But the worst part of this of all isn't just the fact that it even happened at all, the fact that they're going to get off scot-free, or the fact that they had what was probably the nastiest defense ever. It's the fact that I know that people are going to stand up and defend that shit.
Just going to defend it. They're going to outright say the same old tired crap of, oh, well, if you don't like the police so much, next time you're in trouble, call a crackhead.
Yeah, how bad do the police have to be that you have to go to a crackhead to make them look even remotely nice or likable?
And to be fair,
not all police are that bad. I mean, police in my town are pretty great. They're not dickheads like the ones next town over. But really, it's the system.
There is a lot that needs to be addressed. And when we are in a society where a police officer can throw a fucking flash grenade in a goddamn crib and then have the fucking nerve to blame the child, something needs to be fucking done.
And it's even worse is that you can't talk to a police officer and say, well, they don't get involved. Like, what happens to the police coming involved with me? Or anything else, try to look and say, search me, or do anything else involving their lives and such with mine. I'm like, what do I do then? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense.
It brings my fucking blood to a boil.
Well, yeah, to me, it's almost like the old South Park gag where Jimbo and Ned would go hunting, and before they could kill anything, they had to shout, "It's coming right for us."
Yeah, I imagine the police doing that,
Yeah, this 19-year-old is coming right for us. I had no other choice but throw a flashbang grenade. Oh, good lord.
Yep.
I can understand if it was a mistake. Yeah. Okay, fine. But it's just, there's no apology. No one's standing up and saying, this is my fault. This is
the thing. It was a mistake. But instead of owning up to it, they hold contempt for the victim. This is outright victim blaming.
Well, you know, the 19-month-old, he was coming at that cop with a knife.
Of course, probably people, he's just another case of the didn't do nothings.
Sharp teeth.
Just another case of the didn't do nothings.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no. Oh, Lord, he didn't do nothing!
For fuck's sake. I can't fucking think of anybody else that's more fitting of this goddamn title. The Sheriff's Department, they're the fucking biggest bogani manner. Yeah, God, fuck them.
Dead a year at this point. I'm saying it right now. I'm calling it. Because there's nothing. I mean, I know saying this online, well, there's all the stupid people out there. It's a very dangerous thing. But right there, this story. Right here, I don't think it could top this. The way the officer basically just saying, "Well, it's the officer. It is the kid's fault for me throwing the flashbang grenade there."
So basically, police have less agency than a fucking infant. Yet these are the people that many people want to defend them. Yeah. It's like,
I have to move on before I start screaming anymore. We have to move on before I start screaming. Oh, fucking making this short. These people are your biggest bogani emitter, and nobody else can take that title from them.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up?
My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
And now it's time for this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
God, but yeah, Travis, what the fuck, man? Just start.
Oh God. So, okay, grief. So basically, so for those who don't remember, there was this thing going on where bleach enemas, yes, you read that right, bleach enemas were being touted as a cure, some kind of miracle asinine cure for autism. No, that actually isn't an Onion article, however much I wish it was. But apparently, speaking of defense, of the defending the indefensible, this quack named, what's her name?
Carrie Riviera.
Is actually trying to defend this crap with the same nonsense of, oh, well, it worked for my child. Yeah, because apparently, I mean, say what you want about modern science and, you know, animal testing and all the other stuff they do, but at least we don't try to experiment on fucking infants like that. Mother of God!
Bitch, stick bleach up your ass and see what happens.
And here's the quote, right here. Which...
Wasn't it shown that bleach is not a chemical that belongs in your body, people.
Yeah, it's right here, the quote is this,
At best, it can be used to, I mean, from what I've heard, if it's used properly, it can be used to treat external injuries, but for internal stuff, or not to mention, if it's being used to cure autism is not a disease, it's a brain disorder.
It's actually not even a brain disorder, it's basically a developmental... Yeah. It's some differences in brain architecture from basically a developmental disorder, which means that there is no external parasite or whatever to get rid of.
Yeah, that's why it offends me when people say we need to find a cure for autism, because in theory, the only way you could, in theory, cure autism was you'd have to open up my brain and basically reprogram it from a microscopic level.
Pretty much. You'd basically have to remake the architecture, basically.
Yep.
The only thing bleach is going to do if you stick it up your ass is it's going to turn your browns to whites.
Oh, God, that is horrible.
Yeah. It'll kill you.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this, when me and Shane covered this story, I was like, this can't be, I said, this has to be the Onion, but it's not. This story right here is, to me, one of the most disgusting things
I've ever seen. Which is kind of like really? Which leads me to believe that this has apparently been done many times. It's wonderful. So that many people who have been injured by the S. Fuck you,
looks
lady.
Looks like Anita's mom, personally.
Yeah.
And I know this is a low blow, but between this lady and Anita, is it just me, or do these two look like, I don't know, like witches or something? Good Lord.
I don't give a shit what she looks like. The fact is, she's suggesting sticking bleach up your child's ass to cure autism.
Yeah. And this is, of course, why
I... Whether or not she looks like a witch is irrelevant. The fact is, she's a goddamned moron who is insisting that people do something that is not only fucking stupid, but completely dangerous.
Yeah.
Hawkeye would say. I mean, yeah, it's like, okay, so this is why I laugh when people talk about how, but we need the government to catch crooks. It's like, folks, they can't even catch the obvious ones. Like this bitch right here.
I understand why people look for these sort of quote-unquote miracle cures for autism. I just had to deal with a family member that had that has autism, trying to set up sort of a long-term living situation. I completely understand why people look for, you know, why people get distressed, why people look for these types of things. And you know what? All these people that perform all these quote-unquote miracle cures and stuff, all they are doing is preying on desperate people trying to do their best for their child, for their family member, to help, to try and make them better as best they can in their own mind. And you know what? Fuck those people.
It's the new snake oil salesman and such. Way back in the 1800s. It's been here since...
Because I don't want to...
It's like any other people. It's like people who peddle all kinds of stupid shit. Just like homeopathy after 9/11 happened and we had those anthrax scares. Oh, here's homeopathic medicine for anthrax. Or like psychics who prey on the fear and grief of people whose loved ones just died.
Yeah, I agree with Betsy and Trey Parker on this subject. If there is a hell, people like, what's that guy's name?
John Edward?
Yeah, John Edward, they are going there, you know, if hell does exist. Yeah. And as they pointed out, almost anyone can be a psychic. All you need to do is be really good, is be really convincing and know how to read people.
You don't even have to be convincing. All you have to do is ask general questions that can apply to anyone.
Oh yeah, and try. Yeah, you know, I mean, there was one person who told me the joke of the person. The point of it isn't to convince them. The person you can read them. It's to convince the other people.
And then you have these people. These the curing autism, which you know. It's you know, again, someone like myself who has autism, not the most the severe cases, a light case of autism. It's not something, you know, to really cure and everything like that. It's something you have to manage and to manage with and actually live with and such. And to just say that your kid is something wrong with your child, to say there's something like evil or something wrong with your child, does not really help that whole case to begin with. And just to take advantage of this, of the parents and the children of all this. You know, it, like I said, it's really disturbing and it's sad that you have these fake doctors, these people who give this false hope.
Awful motherfuckers. Yes. Let's just say it. They're awful motherfuckers.
What's more, what kills me is if these people are really so convinced that their, quote, miracle cures, close quote, work, then why don't they submit it to a scientific journal or whatever, you know, like to peer review and to show that it works? The fact that they don't want to do stuff like that shows that it's just believe and believe. Because they know what they're peddling is bullshit. It's kind of reminds me of this thing, well, one of his better bits, from David Wong, noting many herbal supplements, noting the fact that a lot of these folks actually don't do any sort of quality control to track how much of the supplement is in each pill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, aren't they afraid of how many people who might overdose on it? Of course not.
Nope.
Because they know you can't overdose on a fucking placebo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you tell them that, well, if your miracle medicine works so good, why won't you put it up for scientific review? They go, well, it doesn't work that way. Homeopathy just can't be tested that way.
In other words, unfalsifiable.
Yep. Yep.
Which pretty much makes it bullshit as it is. Wonderful.
Amen.
But I think we can all agree that peddling this bullshit and being so stubborn about it makes this woman, Carrie Rivera, the only person I can think of to be this week's idiot extraordinaire. Well, that wraps up this week's The Mob Rules edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Shane, take care of yourself, whatever you're doing. But for the rest of us, it's been something.
It's been a strive for mediocrity.
And Anyway, I want to thank everybody who was here. Of course, I'll go down the list again. We got Jacob, John, Travis, Chris, Charlie, and of course, I'm Dave Turcotte. And, man, this was...
It was something.
This is either going to be the best episode or the worst episode. It's not going to be anything in between.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and thank you everyone for being on this show. I don't even remember what the hell Shane says for the end little blurb there. And
well, we did a little quote.
He gives a quote from a famous person.
Has anybody got anything? Anybody got a quote? We're not organized. That's the quote.
I got one. From Penn Jillette. Fuck you people who think the government should intervene more.
Perfect.
The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial and Derivatives 3.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Hang on, this...
Of course.
Hang on, the article... I gotta relook at the article, and it's... Okay, there we go. Yeah, my internet's crappy. I use Windows 8, so...
Well, you'll be able to upgrade to Windows 10 soon.
For some reason...
Or you can at least upgrade to Windows 7 in the meantime.
Yeah, for some reason, my Firefox keeps crashing when I use Windows 8.
I've been a Chrome guy for ages myself.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, here it goes. Yep,
Oh, by the way... Quick side note, this story stream just came into my news feed, but next time you feel bad about the taxes that get taken out of your check, somebody found a copy of Andrew McCutchen of the Pittsburgh Pirates paycheck. Take a look at what, during his last paycheck, he had $322,000 taken out just in FICA.
Damn.
FICA. Sounds familiar. I forgot. What is that again?
That's the federal, that's the Social Security tax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's take a look at the numbers. What do the numbers say?
Oh, I'm looking at them right now. His deductions are, his net pay is $427,000, but look at all his taxes. Medicare, quasi, federal income tax. Jeez, man, they took.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's the federal income tax, my bad, that wasn't
FICA. They took his,
I hate those taxes, that's the reason, taxes are the reason why when I was working at Walmart, I was only making $400 a month instead of $1,000.
Jeez.
No joke, it said on my paycheck that, you know, I would have earned $1,000, but $600 had to go to the government.
Yep, and you see, it's...
But we need those taxes to help the poor! Away.
Yeah. Thankfully, my mom was able to get some back.
Well, you can apply for food stamps that those taxes pay for.
Yeah, but then he'd have to quit his job at Walmart.
And of course, we have idiots like Bill Maher talking about Walmart is the reason why we need these social programs because they're not making enough. Yeah, it's like, dude, do the math.
I'm just amazed. That's what I love about this.
All right.
All right, anyway, let's go back on... I'm sorry.
Back on track.
Back on topic.